Thank you. Well, good day, everyone. Looks like we sound like... good morning, James.
Hi. Apologies for being late. I couldn't extricate myself from another call.
That's okay. We literally just started the call, and the operator just announced that the call is being recorded. So welcome, everyone, to today's HSTLD Advisory Group conference call. And thanks for making yourselves available for some time this morning. This is the first call that I've participated in quite some time, and Michael Palage and I have been talking the last few days about how today's meeting will go and what we want to cover. So, Michael, are there some opening remarks that you'd like to make before I kind of do some minor administrative issues?
No, I think we usually just start it with a roll call, and then
okay.
We just plow through. So that was
sure.
Usually first on the list. So.
Okay, well, on looking at who's dialed into the bridge, I show Mikey O'Connor, I show Dave Piscatello, Jonathan Frakes, Eric Brunner-Williams, Paul Smosher, Andy Welch, John McElwain, Michael Palage, and James Bladel. Am I missing anyone? Hearing none.
Okay. Okay, so what happens is, as far as the other administrative issues, moving on to point two here, can I have some feedback from the group on this proposed 12:30 start? Over the first, I'd say, 6 or 7 months of the group, we were using a rotating morning-afternoon start to try to be as inclusive as possible to all geographic areas. We've proposed this 12:30 start. Is there any opposition or support to this on the members of the call today? Is it a good idea, or would you prefer to go back to either a morning or an afternoon or rotating basis? So that's kind of, I think, one of the first things that we do. So anyone?
Michael,
any objections?
Michael, this is Eric. I really prefer a fixed time. 12:30 is fine, but fixed is best.
Okay.
This is Mikey. I agree to both points, and the time is terrific.
And this
okay.
is Paul. I also agree, and the time works great for me.
Okay. This is John McElwain. I agree. I like the fixed time, and the time is fine.
All right. There we go. We have consensus.
Sounds like we've got consensus on that one.
There we go.
I think we should hang up and just call it a success.
And there's a
deal from here.
Okay, maybe not.
Exactly. Okay, so good. So we moving on to the item 1.3. Since we're probably just going to be having one call a week or one call at 12:30, it looks like I think there's probably no need for the technical call, given that the control worksheet has been sort of plowed through. That was something that was... The tech call was originally done, I think, at the request of Dave and some others that were talking about providing some non-policy-type time for those people to get that particular work item done. Given that that's done, I think we could probably discontinue that additional call. Dave, on looking from your standpoint, I think most of our work over the next, say, 4 to 6 weeks will be probably focused on RFI. Do you think that the technical aspects of the RFI drafting could be done in conjunction with the policy/business-type people, or do you think there might need to be sort of a bifurcation of elements in the RFI from your standpoint?
I don't see why, the entire group can't participate.
Okay, excellent. And hopefully you'll be, as I said, I think in my proposed statement as far as future work items, hopefully you will be sort of helping and taking the lead on some of the technical aspects of the RFI as they will be incorporated. So, okay, so that, as I said, as far as administrative issues, I think we've covered most of those things. What I'd like to do... are there any other additional items that anyone would like to discuss that they've not yet raised on the mailing list or would like to discuss on today's call?
Michael, actually, this is Craig, and back to item 1.2 on the agenda. I agree that having a fixed time is good, and this 12:30 time seems, or 12:30 East Coast time seems to be appealing to everyone. I do think we need to talk about what the frequency of the call needs to be relative to the work that we're doing. I realize that we're going to get to the RFI a little bit later in the call, and that there's going to be some legwork that needs to get done before we actually start talking about it. So I don't necessarily see that we need to have a weekly call immediately, and I'm open to, you know, I'm open to being wrong about that. But I do think that rather than just saying starting next week we're going to have weekly calls again, we ought to kind of look at what the workload is and what the need is, so that way we make the best use of the time that we have together.
No objections here. So as far as, what is it, the public comment period closes, I believe, what is it, next
21st.
Week? 21st, Manchester United versus Philadelphia Union on the 21st. I'll be there. Okay, so that's an easy date to know when it closes. How about what we do is, how long do you think you may need to get some of your bearings together as far as who ICANN will be assigning to help draft the RFI? Because as I have set forward in the proposed next steps document, there will at least be an initial consultation with staff/consultants in what the RFI will look like, and then there probably will be a sort of maybe perhaps a two-week sort of quiet period while perhaps staff begins to frame that document. So when do you think that team will be in place on ICANN's side as far as resource allocation goes?
Yeah, I would anticipate within a week or so we'll have sorted out the ICANN staff support person and the kind of support that will be provided.
Okay, so would you be potentially amenable to sort of doing then sort of biweekly calls every other week until such time that perhaps we get into that heavy lifting stage that we did in connection with the control matrix with Andy? So let me put that out for the people on the call. You know, for the remainder of the summer holidays for those in the Northern Hemisphere, would there be any opposition to moving towards biweekly calls every other Wednesday at 12:30? Any objections?
Michael, this is Derek. I'll go first again, just because I don't know. We want to make sure that we don't fall in the heavy comment period for BAG-B4 in terms of halftime availability. And Craig, you sort of indicated that this is a problem. But we also want to avoid falling into heavy work time for AI. The actual call periodicity isn't so much an issue as avoiding other bursts of work. Those are my 2.5 cents.
Okay, so what would your proposal be to avoid those bottlenecks? So would you propose weekly calls to prevent? Do you think biweekly creates bottlenecks, or?
Let's first make sure that when Craig said he's going to have staff time available at X date, that that's with the knowledge that there is BAG-B4 comments to process on ICANN's side.
Craig, could you confirm that with Kurt from a resource standpoint and follow up with the list? Could you do that? Okay. Is there anyone else after Eric that wants to speak on that particular point?
I'm sorry, Michael. It's Craig, and I got my line got disconnected as soon as Eric said his first word. So I apologize, but I'm going to ask you to repeat what you said so I get the value of hearing it.
Okay. Well, I will not try to put words in Eric's mouth because that would potentially. I'll let Eric speak again. Go ahead, Eric. You have the floor.
Well, thank you. Craig, I wanted to make sure that the burstiness of your workload, that is ICANN's workload, and the advisory group's workload and other workloads, such as the vertical integration, were not happening simultaneously. So when you said you'll have staff available at a particular date, that's with the awareness of I mean, that's with costing and the time taken to deck for comment processing. Question mark.
One more time, Eric, with your direct question.
Have you cost DAGD for comments closed at a
date? 21st of July.
Right. The staffer that you have tentatively scheduled to support the RFI activity for this advisory group, is it an independent resource, or should we schedule it before or after the comment period processing?
I think it can happen in parallel. There are no comments, I don't believe, as of yet. So I think the work happens in parallel, unless I'm missing something here.
Yes, you're missing the comments on the DAG V4, not the comments on the HSTLD draft.
How do the comments on DAG V4 impact us starting to get some headway on the RFI?
I think, Craig, the point Eric's trying to raise is, will we have the resources? Because back when we had the dedicated Andy, that there was always bandwidth there to meet our groups, the advisory group's needs. And I think Eric's just saying is, without that commitment, will staff have the dedicated resources while they are busy ticking other boxes in connection with finalizing the DAG? I think that succinctly summarizes Eric's concern.
So the answer to that question is yes. There will be a resource committed to this work.
Okay. All right. So is there anyone else on the group that would be opposed to, at least initially over the next couple of weeks, perhaps 4 to 6 weeks, alternating calls every other week until such time that we have some more concrete material in the RFI to undertake? Any objections to that? Paul, do you have any? You like the 12:30? Do you have any problems with going every other week until we have the work necessary? I mean, any objections to that? John, Paul.
Sorry, I was doing the foolish speak while I was on mute.
no problem.
My no objection. Good with that.
All right, so there you go then, Craig. The answer, I think, to your question is right now the group will, we will go to every other week until such time that the workload is at a level where we need to start doing, heavy lifting like we were doing in the control sheet matrix there. So there we go. So I think that does take care of all the administrative issues since over the last month or so. Now moving forward to the next steps document. So ICANN staff last week had their weekly, I guess, new GTLD, huddle up, for lack of a better term. And one of the things that was requested was that I prepare a statement regarding next steps for what I saw as the remaining work for the group. So what I agreed to do with staff was to draft a statement and put it forward to the list to make sure that there was consensus among the group as to what we viewed as our remaining work items. For those of you that may not have seen that document, it was, I think, Craig, you circulated it yesterday, correct?
Yesterday morning, yes.
Yes, yesterday morning. And basically, at a very high level, what the document says sort of in 2 minutes is, I was of the opinion that there was consensus within the group that if there was no objections to the second snapshot that was produced by the group, that we would likely turn our attention towards getting an RFI out. And one of the reasons why an RFI, I think, was viewed as important based upon the I think the consensus of the group was we needed to look at the viability/implementation of the high security zone standards. And the only way we would be able to make such a fact-based determination was actually having some facts from people that potentially do that, and that's why the RFI was critical. In the next step document, basically what I propose at a high level is that staff slash consultants do an initial consultation on what we view the RFI looking at. Staff would then be would then hold the pen in drafting the staff slash consultants would be responsible for sort of producing the first draft, not unlike what Andy has done to date, and it would then rely upon the advisory group to help, if you will, edit and finalize that document to potentially put it out for an RFI sometime in September. That was the potential target date that I thought as being reasonable. That would allow us then to get responses back from the RFI and produce a third snapshot regarding potential implementation steps in advance of the Cartagena meeting. So that, to me, is what I thought where we as a group were going. I am now open to criticism, comment, so that we as a group can finalize what we view as our next work and so that I could provide this document to ICANN staff. So I guess the best way to do it is let's just start at the top and go through. So, Craig, I didn't copy roll. So can you just start with the first person on the telephone bridge and work your way down for me?
Sure. So we've got Mikey O'Connor.
This is Mikey. Hi, everybody. I guess I have a couple of questions. One is, the connection between what we're doing and new GTLDs. I mean, you said at the beginning of that little statement that the request came from the new GTLD folks at ICANN. And I guess I'd like to sort of clarify where everybody thinks we're at with regard to that, because we've, as a group, sort of said, look, this isn't directly connected to the GTLDs. And I went so far as to whine at Brussels about sort of where we're at in terms of consensus on approach, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm just wondering if there's a sort of large issue that we need to face here. I mean, are we on the new GTLD critical path in any way? That's a question for people who know.
So this is Craig. And so I think the answer to that question is that it's not on the critical path. That HSTLD and new GTLDs are certainly linked. I mean, we wouldn't be doing HSTLD if it hadn't been come out of the community as it relates to new TLDs. But I don't think it's on the critical path. I certainly don't think HSTLD could be done and developed by the time new GTLDs will launch. So does that answer your question, Mikey?
It does, but then let me take it one follow-up question deeper, and then I'll drop off and let other folks chime in. The question that comes to my mind is this whole, there's this whole overarching issue of malicious conduct in the new GTLD process. And again, this time, HSTLD was included in that pile as one of the responses. And when I had a conversation with Greg Rottray by email, which I asked him follow-up to my complaint at Brussels, saying, look, you know, if you take HSTLD out of that pile and you acknowledge that while we did great work on file access, that's not really a hit on the malicious conduct issue very squarely on the nail. what have we got in malicious conduct in terms of where we're at on that overarching issue? And Greg's answer was that from the staff's perspective, they feel they've done enough. And I'm not sure that the community agrees with that. So where does that puzzle get resolved?
So Mikey, let me interject here. I, like many people, I've articulated the need to disconnect this from the new GTLD process since early in our work. What I've tried to focus on in my next step statement is sort of avoiding that third rail. We need to do our work, and whether someone wants to, you know, we need to do our work. And if someone wants to link it to somebody else, you know, I'm not. I don't think at any point in time I've either slowed up or speeded up. I think we've moved forward. And in fact, I was just going through some notes that Andy and I were exchanging up, you know, right after the Seoul meeting. And believe it or not, we're probably exactly right where we were supposed to be. So, you know, instead of linking, unlinking, I'm just focusing on what we need to do, right? And if someone does try to link or decouple or do something like that, then I think we as a group, you know, will address that when appropriate. But the main focus of my statement here is what we need to do, sort of in our own little plastic bubble to get our work done. So, I don't know if that address. I mean, I do share your concerns, but the reason I tried to leave that out is we just need to get our work done, and this is the path we need to do towards getting it done.
Yeah, Mike, I echo your sentiments. You know, I think there are two important kind of distinctions or notes to make here, and that is since it's been the group has come to the conclusion or the consensus that the program is voluntary. You know, once it went from mandatory to voluntary, if it ever was mandatory to start, it kind of naturally decoupled from the new TLD program anyway. And, you know, the purpose of the RFI is to get to the viability, right? So the group still hasn't answered the question of whether this is viable and how it would be implemented. So there's kind of a natural decoupling from the timing of the launch of new TLDs. So I think you're right that, you know, we have the work that we need to do. We need to march forward with it. And it's not going to be, you know, the timing is not going to be perfect to the launch of new TLDs. And I also don't think that's particularly important. So we should start our work.
Okay, so next on, and Mikey, I hope that addresses your concern.
This is Paul.
Okay, Paul, you're up next. Or Mikey, do you have, say, 15 seconds before I turn to Paul?
Well, just that I think at some point I'm going to write a little public comment about malicious conduct and say, look, you know, there's no there, but, you know, I get it. I get what we're doing.
Oh no, and put it this way. I think that's exactly the thing to do. Is if you do have concerns regarding that broader DAG viewpoint of the world regarding malicious conduct, that's probably where to go. And really echoes, I think, the concerns that Eric had earlier about there being necessary resources for us to do our job. Paul, you're up next.
I guess I'd first comment on the conversation that was just going on, and I guess maybe I'm a little contrarian here, but I'm thinking that there is at least a connection to the DAG in the sense that if, you know, assuming we move forward, assuming that we get through the RFI process, we can find that it makes sense that there are providers who can support, you know, the process, then I guess I would question why we wouldn't be motivated to have the HSTLD process in place at least by the time the new level domains are ready to launch, so that those who care to voluntarily comply with a high security concept that it's ready for them to have something to comply with. Yeah, so I guess there is, in my mind, some connection between DAG and HSTLD. I mean, I recognize that we have talked on multiple occasions that this could also apply to existing TLDs, but yeah, I think I'd be a bit concerned if we got to the launch of the new TLDs and this program wasn't sitting there ready to engage.
And Paul, go ahead,
Craig. Sorry.
When you say launch, are you referring to the opening of the application cycle, or are you talking about the availability to register names in a TLD?
Well, I think my preference would be that it's around at the time people start to apply, but minimally by the time people are ready to implement and start, you know, basically putting in the subdomains, as it were. I just think that, it's probably sometime in the middle, because if you're going to, I don't know that we need it immediately when people are going to apply, but by the time they have set up the TLD, I think as they're setting up the process, as the registry and registry operators and the registrars are getting themselves organized and setting up, it would be good that they had this available so that they didn't have to do a bunch of rework subsequently to get themselves to a high security state if that's what they had originally intended to do.
Yeah, and that was exactly my point around the timing, and if I didn't communicate that well, I apologize. To reiterate, it doesn't seem to me that HSTLD needs to be done and solved and ready for publication at the time that the program launches, but it certainly does need to be done prior to when registrations are starting to be made in TLD. So, you know, the time between the application window and when a registry goes operational is looking to be a pretty big period of time, at least the way it's spelled out right now in the DAG, which leaves us, you know, a pretty big window in order to complete this work and make it available to TLDs.
And Paul, this is Mike, and I appreciate your concerns there as far as applicants having to do a lot of rework between time of application and perhaps going live, or as Craig says, selling domain names. And perhaps if you look at the timeline, if we produce our third snapshot in advance of Cartagena, potentially, the result of that next snapshot will be perhaps the calling for an issuance of an RFI. So, right now, the current optimistic viewpoint is, among some in the community, is that the DAG will be finalized at Cartagena. I'm not holding my breath on that. But assuming that is the case, there is a hard-coded four-month sort of communication window that needs to be built in. So during this communication period, that four-month communication window there, those people will be able to see the RFI and what these components are likely to be. So the ability for someone to really have to do a total redesign from scratch, I don't think that necessarily will be a problem. And one of the reasons why I really want to, as another co-chair, Mikey, right now, as a participant in the vertical integrating group, there the group is being, its work is being driven by deadlines imposed by ICANN, right? What we're doing is we're just doing our job. And when we get, it's kind of a different approach we're taking in our group and is perhaps a little more viable given the more collegial tenure of the smaller group as opposed to the monstrosity of 60 or 80 people that Mikey has to chair, co-chair. So so does that answer you, does that potentially answer some of your concerns or address some of your concerns there, Paul?
Yeah, I think it does. You know, kind of switching. I'm comfortable with what I'm hearing, so moment at least, let's close that one. And moving on to the broader approach that was discussed in the document or the email that was sent out a couple days ago, I guess it was. Yeah, I think we are moving in a logical direction. I think the next step is to try and get the RFI together, make sure that there is, you know, potential provider support for the concepts that we're talking about in terms of the, you know, for lack of a better term, accreditation. So I'm good with that concept overall.
Let me ask you this question, Paul. I know BITS was obviously, they did a lot of initial heavy lifting with, I think, Greg Rattray and ICANN staff, actually prior to the commissioning or recognition of this particular concept. And I remember you had shared a number of documents with the group regarding sort of matrix. There were certain criteria and stuff you were looking at, particularly within the banking sector. Is there anything that you might be able to share with the list that would give us some ideas of what we might be looking for when we begin to have that initial dialogue with ICANN staff on RFI components? Could you, I mean, I think you probably have, again, some of the most relevant expertise in this area. Is that something you could do or help us out with?
Yeah, you know, in terms of, let me take a step back for a second. In terms of the documents I shared originally, those were kind of the recommendations we had sent to ICANN with regard to the components or characteristics of what we thought would be necessary for a high security type TLD. And obviously, as we've been going along kind of creating detail, I've been trying to track against what we had originally submitted. And you know, at this point, I think I'm more than satisfied that what has turned out in terms of the detail and the expectations that collectively the group has come up with tracks very well with what we were looking for when we submitted our documents. So from that perspective, what I had submitted earlier and what the end product is really good. In terms of the RFI, we hadn't gone so far as to figuring out probably the certification process and how we might engage. But let me look, because obviously there are some other kinds of processes that one could argue are similar, although probably as well have some criticisms, things around items like the just slipped my mind. The certification that kind of merchants and providers have to go through who are in the credit card space, and that whole process, just the name of it just slipped my mind. But again, you know, there are probably some things I could dig up and see if I could find for you.
That would be great, because again, the more data points that we have, I think the better our overall work output. Craig, if you can move to, so we've had Mikey, Paul, who's third up on the list?
We've got Jonathan.
Jonathan, you're up, Jonathan. Jonathan. Talking into a muted phone,
okay.
Or hung up?
Yep, I might be. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on.
Hi, so just a couple thoughts with regards to the timing, and I'm sure this is on the front of others' minds. One question that keeps popping up to me from people who ask about the efforts of this group is that in the presence of an application that had elected for voluntary HSTLD review versus an application that did not, is there any preference or weighting that's given to the application that has that HSTLD elective status that they've, you know, opted for. And so there was some, nexus with the application process from that question. Was I clear? Was I very clear about that?
So let me try to rephrase. If someone ticks the HSTLD security box, do they get? Is there some benefit that to them in the overall potential allocation / string contention scenario set?
Correct.
And
I don't know
have
if we
Karen Lynn. So if we had Karen Lynn, she would be able to cite the subparagraph and page number and footnote. Craig, do you want to take a stab at that, or would you like to circle back with Karen and just forward that response to the list?
Yeah, I will circle around and forward a response to the list.
All right. There we go.
Perfect. Because I don't know the answer.
But I'm cool with every other week, and I'm cool with this being a sort of a decoupled process otherwise. That's the only thing I think that would impact our timeline, et cetera, because we don't want to delay the new TLD process. And if there is going to be some value for, you know, potentially, you know, my personal opinion, somewhat solicited, is that, you know, if there were a financial institution or, you know, banking sector applicant like BITS that wanted to apply for .bank and want to go through the process of HSTLD, my personal opinion is that I think that for going to, you know, through that trouble, they should have some elevation in the status of their application as opposed to a .bank that would not. That's just my two cents, which I'd put in their .bank.
Yeah, I'll take all that back and get some feedback for the group.
All right, next up on
Eric. Eric Runaway is next.
Can you hear me?
He's also on mute.
Eric, can you speak up? You're a little muted there.
He's real quiet. I can hear him, but just barely.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, well, that's better.
Okay, good. Goodness, I hope there aren't two banks, one of which is determined to be more than spring contention on the basis of checking a box. Anyway, I don't want to go there. On the process from here forward towards an RFI, on the documents, the stamp shot that we have, assuming that there is no contravening public comment of significance, and at this point I think there is no public comment, I'm fine with that. I think this should go to RFI. I think we should find out if it's actually viable as we have constructed it. I want to point out that I have a methodological issue with our progress thus far, or with the framing of the activity, is entirely about the auditability of data. But that doesn't actually get to issues which we discussed at Brussels, those of us who were present in the last half hour of the non-meeting that was scheduled, and also hallway conversations with Andy later. So I want to just say that I don't think that we're done in terms of subject material. We're certainly done in terms of the matrix that we have to date. And putting up for tender an RFI is the appropriate thing to do at this point.
And let me ask you this question, Eric. Is it possible in drafting the RFI that we might be able to solicit some questions to address the unaddressed concerns or issues that you have, or do you think we have to reach some other conclusion before we go to RFI?
No. An RFI on an auditable, basically on a test that is built as in terms of method around the notion of externally visible things which can be audited and re-audited periodically. That by itself is a self-contained thing, and it's fine to go forward with that. It just doesn't solve things which are outside of it as a problem space, and we shouldn't delay it because there are things which are outside of it. So I want to get that out of the way, get the RFI for this thing itself done. And then speaking to the issue of coupling with the DAG, I think there's no coupling whatsoever. It would be if we had it today, we wouldn't sit on it for a year until the DAG converts to an AG. if we have it a year after the DAG converts to an AG, or a year after the initial delegation takes place, these, if we wouldn't hold it up now, we should hold it up then. So,
all right,
maybe it's convenient for operators to retroactively characterize their operation to the level that we're specifying. We don't know that yet. We don't know that for a fact. In fact, we don't even know that we can get this implemented at all. But coupling the two activities, that is the GTLD activity and the HSTLD activity, is very problematic from a variety of perspectives.
All right, excellent, excellent. Thank you, Eric. Craig, who's next on our list there?
We would have John McElwain.
You guys hear me?
Yep.
We hear you loud and clear.
All right. Another mute problem. I don't have a whole lot to add. I think that the RFI process is the proper way to go. The only thing that I, from listening to the comments concerning timing and, that the RFI's process is to determine viability, I think timing is somewhat tied to viability, so that we might get a more clarity concerning when we really need to have this in place coming out of the RFI process. I think Jotham's example is right on point. If coming out of the RFI process, it is clear that for this to be a viable and popular, successful program, we need to have this in place and have people given certain priorities in the application process, then that hopefully will be made clear to us and we can adjust our schedule and get this thing put in place so that it is being launched at the right time. That's it.
Very fair comment, John. And as I said, I think the objective for us is to get this snapshot out in advance of Cartagena. So if we see something that does impact the viability, we will put that forward information for the board to consider at that time. So I appreciate that, and I think the path that we've provided provides for that, if you will, safety valve mechanism. Okay, Craig, next up.
Michael, I have a comment.
Go ahead, Eric.
Thank you, Michael. We should not be creating a novel mechanism for gaming the DAG.
And
we're very sophisticated people.
So what happens is, as far as gaming the DAG, a very fair, legitimate concern, Eric, totally understand, and I know you have articulated this through many of the other previous versions of the DAG regarding the weighting of community comments. I think it's probably best that until we get a response from Karen, that instead of us dealing in sort of what-ifs or hypotheticals, let's get a response from Karen, the keeper of the DAG, and then what we can do is, we can then discuss it and do it at that point in time. Okay?
Mike, it's not about the sequence of the two documents. Do you want to put that down? It's about whether or not we're creating within the application process, that is, within the anticipated evaluation process, some activity that some applicants can gain advantage over other applicants by engaging in, which is independent of the service we're attempting to define and provide. That's what I'm saying. DAG.
No, and I appreciate that, and that, again, is why in my one-pager statement I've specifically, removed any coupling, decoupling. We're going to do our work, if we get done. When we get it done, other people, I'm sure you will ensure that our work is not used to provide a gaming mechanism. If other people want to try to use it as a gaming mechanism, we will let other people use our work output to a manner which economically benefits them. But what I'm really trying to focus on as chair of this group is let's get our work done, because once we're done, we then could, other people can do with it as they see fit. But that's my main focus right now. Okay?
Well said, Michael. Let's move on to James.
All right, James.
Hi, Mike, and, you know, respectful to everyone's time and work on this and the fact that I've been keeping one eyeball on this group and keeping up as much as I can, I probably don't have a lot of value to contribute beyond what Mikey and Jonathan have said particularly, and I think Eric as well. I just wanted to just share one comment or concern is that to ensure that what we're providing is guidance or advice and not holding up the output of our work as the exclusive or one and only way to construct a high-security TLD, and that if other innovative approaches are put forward, that those are not necessarily swept under the rug just because, whether it's in a new GTLA application process or just in the general case, that other ideas remain open and viable, and that this is not held up as the necessarily the one and only gold standard for solving this problem. So that was the only comment I wanted to add, in addition to echoing some of the statements I made earlier.
And put it this way, James, is sort of one of the newer members of the group. I mean, this kind of goes back to some of our original discussions regarding whether there should be a certification or a seal versus sort of more of a report card concept. So I think the comments that you have raised there are valid ones, and they are actually a decision that the group has not yet made one way or the other. So I think your participation at that time will, at this time, will provide the flexibility to potentially impact that final determination of whether it's a one-size-fits-all or whether there's, if you will, flexibility for other innovation and choice in the marketplace. All right? All right, Craig, what do we got?
Well, that's the group.
That's the group. Okay, so what happens is So from what I heard, there was no one that was violently opposed to my attempt to synthesize our path forward. Craig, if you just want to take that and perhaps forward it to whoever in ICANN requested it, you now have it. I'm just looking at the time. We kind of got about 5 minutes left here. You know, one of the things, I think one of the last items here is we have sort of the control matrix. You know, my take is, you know, from where I sit right now, we haven't had a lot of, we've really had no comments yet in response to the control matrix. You know, but as far as finalizing that, I myself, again, I kind of want to sit there and see the responses back from the RFI before we go ahead and put the final stamp on anything as far as a work product goes. So, you know, to me, the control matrix are what we have. We invested a lot of time and effort, but that's still a dynamic live document. That's kind of my two cents. You know, perhaps, you know, we got about 5 minutes left. If we could just maybe run through the list, and if everybody could perhaps just try to limit it to, you know, 30 to 60 seconds on what they view the status of the control matrix, that would be helpful. So I think, Mikey, you were first, if my memory serves me correct.
Thanks, Mike. Well, you know, my reaction to the control matrix is similar to the one that I've had all along, which is that I don't know that this actually makes a TLD more secure. It's certainly a Jim Dandy matrix, but I am still not convinced that it actually makes anybody safer. That's my two cents.
So do you view the matrix as still dynamic, or do you view that as set in stone?
I'm essentially resigned that this is the
basically you don't care. You have no opinion. Would that be fair to say?
Well, I think the best is I'll no longer lay my body on the tracks of this particular train.
of the control matrix train,
yeah.
Or of the HSTLD train.
Well, no, I'm saving one body for one more leap across the tracks on HSTLD, but the control matrix I've given up on.
Okay. Paul.
Nothing. Or Paul. Yeah, Paul.
Okay. Well, I'll, on the other hand, probably throw my body on the tracks and say that, you know, consistent with what I mentioned earlier, I think this will be helpful. You know, clearly, you know, I'm not sure at any point in time, you know, we will ever be able to say we're done because the environment is so dynamic that, you know, periodically we're probably going to have to take a look at these things again. But for the moment, at least, I am satisfied with where they're at. So I'm good with what we've developed.
And Paul, just to address your concern, you'll see in, I think, the last sentence of my note, one of the specific work items that I have as a potential aspect of our third snapshot is how do we go towards the, if you will, who will be the keeper of this control matrix and how will it remain a live document and how will it be updated? So that's something I think that was touched upon in our last survey. I think at least my sense from the group was while there may have not have been consensus, there was at least some strong support for the community having a continued role in upkeeping that matrix and not necessarily subbing that out to a third party. So there would sort of be a bifurcation, the keeper of the list as opposed to the auditors of the list. That was my recollection based upon, you know, the work that we were engaging in pre-Brussels. Next, I think, Jonathan, you're up.
I support the control matrix. I think, you know, my perspective is that most of the things on the control matrix are already present in many of the existing providers, so that was very comforting. But it's good to I support the control matrix, I think I've won $10 because I had $5 for every mention of the word bifurcation you'd used today, Mike.
Okay, there you go.
If you...
Bifurcation, 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 bifurcation. Now, there you go. There's an additional $20. You could send me a check for $10. There you go.
I'll put it in my dot bank.
Michael, this is Craig, and just so you know, I've got a hard stop in about 3 minutes on this call because of a pre-existing commitment. So
not a problem. Let's
we've got Eric and John and James left comments.
30 seconds each, gentlemen. Let's go. Eric, you're up. 30 seconds.
Ditto to what Mikey said. Methodologically, I'm not happy with this, but if we're going to bury it, get it done, good. It's been estimated to be a six-figure implementation cost for a registry operator. That means it's probably not going to fly in the market except for very heavily, very well-funded app players, but I don't care. Where we
okay.
really get high security is some other method or choice.
All right. John, you're up. 30 seconds.
I'm good with the control matrix. No further comment.
All right, James.
Yeah, no further comments. You can probably put me in the Mikey camp on this one.
Okay. So what happens is, I guess what we'll wrap it up is right now. There appears to be no need for further changes. However, I don't think we necessarily, you know, as the practice has been, I don't think we put anything in stone until we're done. So I guess the answer to that question that you had raised that we had discussed earlier in the week, Craig, is right now we don't envision any more future work on the control matrix, but until we get responses to the RFI back to see the potential viability of that, we leave open the opportunity to change if necessary. All right?
Sounds right.
All right, excellent. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, and talk to you in 2 weeks. All right, bye.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye, guys.
Mikey, you still there?
Yeah.
Let's hang on for a minute.
Okay. Or I could call you.
You have my phone number?
No.
Well, then how could you call me?
I could dial at random, or you could tell me.
I think I like the first choice.
It'd be fast.